Okay, ladies, welcome to Uncovering Your Gremlins. We are about to adventure into some seriously transformative and life-changing places. This is a part of the program that I've been eagerly looking forward to sharing with you, because in this section, you will be building on what you've already learned so far about the importance of being awake to your thoughts. And now you'll be taking the next steps in shining a flashlight on your inner world so you can have a deep understanding of how you create your reality and the results in your life, for good or for bad. Said another way, you're about to embark on the next amazing phase of consciously building your dream life. In order to change your life, create better results, or overcome a problem or challenge that you find yourself continually facing, you must first expose the gremlins that are at the root of these things. Said another way, it's time to find out which thoughts, beliefs, and stories are working against you so you can slay them, replace them, and start living your hell yes life. All right, let's dive in. Exposing the gremlins, uncovering limiting beliefs, identities, and stories. Part one, what are gremlins? Gremlins are negative thoughts about self, disempowering identities, limiting beliefs, fears, shame, guilt, self-sabotage, comparison, jealousy, self-judgment. You get the point. Common examples of gremlins. I can't. I'm not worthy. I'm not strong or smart or sociable enough to blank. I couldn't do that. I can't create a life that I love. I haven't been able to blank in the past, so I never will. I can't trust myself. Other people can blank, but not me. I'm uniquely flawed. I failed before, so I know I'm going to fail again. I'm too blank, too blank, etc. Gremlins are like toddlers. If you ignore them, they just get louder. Brené Brown. So it's time to shine a flashlight on your gremlins, aka the negative, disempowering thoughts, limiting beliefs, fears, and or stories that you have about yourself. For the next several days and weeks, in your journal or in the space below, list anything and everything that comes up for you in response to the questions below. Note, I recommend also keeping a list in your phone's notepad to track limiting beliefs as they come up in your everyday life. Write them down and transfer them to the list below or to the place in your journal where you are capturing your gremlins. Please take some time to explore the questions in this section of the workbook. For the sake of time in this audio, I will skip the questions and move on to the next portion of the workbook now. Part 2. Thoughts create behaviors, create results. Refer to your responses in the Wheel of Life exercise from Module 1.2 as you go through the following questions. Think about the areas of your life that are not how you'd like them to be. A term for these less than yay parts of our life can also be referred to as discontentments, aka things you are not content with or at a yes level with. These discontentments or growth areas are the areas on the Wheel of Life that are at a 5 out of 7 or below. They're usually related to the results or outcomes in your life that you are not happy or satisfied with, or the ways in which you wish that your life was different. Please take some time to explore the questions in this section of the workbook. For the sake of time in this audio, I will skip the questions and move on to the next portion of the workbook now. Okay, circling back to thoughts create behaviors, which create results. So a thought, belief, identity, or story leads to a behavior, which leads to a result. Or inversely, if there's a result, then there's a behavior that has created it, and behind that, there's a thought or a belief or an identity or a story that's created that behavior. So now, for each discontentment or growth area on the Wheel of Life, let's reverse engineer and connect all three elements, thoughts, behaviors, and results, so that you can see how and why things are manifesting in your life the way that they are. First, let's look at a couple of examples. Example number one, reverse engineered. Result. On the Wheel of Life, my fitness is a 4. I'm out of shape and I can't fit into my clothes from last year. Behavior. I eat 5,000 calories a day and I don't exercise. Thought, belief, identity, story. I believe that I can't lose weight and that diet and exercise don't actually matter. Example number two, and this one's in linear fashion. Thought, belief, identity, story. I don't believe that I can create the life of my dreams. Other people can do it, but I can't. Something is wrong with me. Behavior. I stay in this stupid job that I hate. I say no to invites to personal development workshops. I'm just going through the motions of day-to-day life. I psychologically beat myself up a lot, and I'm jealous of my friends who are happy. Result. I'm unhappy, unfulfilled, stressed out. I have a limited lifestyle because I'm so tired and I can't really afford to do much. I make just enough to pay the bills and I hang around with so-so people on occasion. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? Hopefully these examples are helpful in illustrating that our thoughts create our inner and outer reality, which is why we're digging so deeply into the gremlins so that we can shed the light of awareness on why we are where we are on the wheel of life and in life overall. This process will prepare you for slaying and replacing the gremlins with powerful new allies in Module 5. Okay, let's move on to the next part of gremlin excavation. Part 3. The three detrimental identities: illness, victim, poverty. A common reason that many people resist or avoid change, even if it will improve their life, is because the issue they are trying to address is rooted in a disempowering belief and has become interwoven with their self-identity. This is the case especially if the issue at hand is painful on any level, because, as surprising as it sounds, people become attached to their pain or painful situation. It becomes part of their story. What has gone wrong, what has been done to them, how they've been hurt. So much so that they think it is who they are and that they are stuck this way. Three of the most detrimental identities are illness, victimhood, and poverty, especially when there is a woe is me attitude associated. But in order to be intentional creators of our lives, we must give up these detrimental ways of thinking. Here's a couple of examples. If you hate your job, but you believe you are someone who will never like what you do for a living or don't deserve a better job, you might find it difficult to find a new, more enjoyable job. You would have to give up your belief that you don't like work or that you can't find work that you enjoy. Example number two. If you are mistreated or abused by your significant other, but you believe you are someone who has no power of choice to change the situation, you may find it difficult to remove yourself from the relationship because you would have to give up your belief that you are powerless and can't leave. Let's look at where the three detrimental identities might be showing up in your life. Please take some time to explore the questions in this section of the workbook. For the sake of time in this audio, I will skip the questions and move on to the next portion now. Okay, part four, the false benefit. A gremlin's favorite partner in crime. You might be wondering why anyone, yourself included, would hold on to disempowering stories, detrimental identities, or unhealthy behaviors. Great question. In addition to becoming interwoven with self-identity, these detrimental identities, attitudes, or behaviors often provide false benefits. Dun dun dun. Here's my definition. A false benefit is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It is a seemingly beneficial, yet actually counterproductive result of an action, belief, identity, or behavior. A short-term reward that is, in reality, opposite of positive desired effects. Said another way, false benefits are the shitty payouts of all excuses, the snake oil salesmen of bad habits, the loan sharks of slacking off, the looming hangover of settling. Yours truly. Here are some examples. Example number one. I'm going to skip yoga today because I just don't have time. False benefit catch. Bullshit. I could fit in 10 minutes of yoga at home if I can't make it to class, but really I'm just feeling lazy and I'm making seemingly real excuses. The false benefit is that I have more time to do stuff because I'm not exercising, which really means that I get to avoid exercising. In the short term, that might feel good because I'm not physically pushing myself, aka I'm staying in my comfort zone. But in the long term, this false benefit is working against my actual goals of being fit, limber, tension-free, healthy, and sexy, which are some of the real benefits of yoga. Example number two. I talk about how much I hate my job all the time because it's such a crappy place to work and Roger is such a tyrant of a manager and people should know how unfair my situation is and why I'm always broke. False benefit catch. Bullshit meter goes into the red again. I talk about how much I hate my job all the time because it helps me make excuses and falsely justify why I'm still there. When the truth is that I don't think I have the guts to start leveling up and putting myself out there to find another job. I'm letting fear control me. Plus, I kind of don't believe that I could get another good job anyway with the competition being what it is. And why would anyone hire me when I'm horrible at interviews? False benefit. I get to play the victim and dodge accountability for my life and my results. I get to stay home in my comfort zone, which is easier and feels better. But in reality, this is working against me because I'm miserable, underpaid, unfulfilled, and going against my dream to get paid well to do what I love. I'm keeping myself from leaving my current situation and finding a job that lights me up. By allowing these false benefits to win me over, I'm sacrificing the real benefits of feeling happy, confident, passionate, stress-free, motivated, and free. Example number three. I don't go to social events because I'm not very interesting, and even if I did go, I wouldn't have anything to say, and people would probably think I'm weird. False benefit catch. Bullshit once again. I don't go to social events because it would require me to get out of my comfort zone and get vulnerable and honest with people and maybe be put on the spot and not know what to say, which is so uncomfortable and I hate being uncomfortable. I mean, what if I blow it? Or what if they actually like me, but then they find out something about the real me and they reject me? False benefit. I stay home or do things by myself all the time, which reduces the possibility of me getting hurt or feeling insecure or uncomfortable or being made fun of. I get to be safe and in control. I get to stay home and watch Netflix and hang out with my cat Pumpkin, who I love very much. But in reality, these false benefits keep me from the real benefits that I secretly dream about having in my life. Fun friends, inspiring colleagues, a support network, exciting and adventurous experiences with awesome people. Yeah, holding me back. Here are some common thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors associated with false benefits. Sleeping in, procrastination, complaining, placing blame, avoiding responsibilities, vices, overeating, drinking, partying, spending, binge watching, surrendering to fear, staying comfortable, tolerating, feeling guilty, lying or being dishonest, giving into peer pressure, not being true and honest to self, jealousy, canceling plans, pessimism, saying yes when it's a no, or vice versa, making excuses, gossip, drama, needing to be right, justifications, shoulds, comparison, and so on. Let's uncover your false benefits. Please take some time to explore the questions in this section of the workbook. For the sake of time in this audio, I will skip the questions and move on to the next portion of the workbook now. All right, hooray, warrior princess! You've made it to the end of the Gremlins workbook. Please give yourself a huge pat on the back and do something fun to reward and celebrate yourself. I totally get that the process I just led you through is super stretchy, nerve-wracking, triggering, and immensely vulnerable. I want to validate and honor you for doing all of that deep digging, and I promise, it will pay off in incredible ways as long as you keep moving forward. Now that you have shined a light on those gremlins that have been working against you, it's time to move on to the fun part. It's time to begin exploring your allies, aka empowering thoughts, beliefs, identities, and stories, the ones that are working for you. Take some time to let this workbook sink in and digest, and then move on to the Acknowledging Your Allies workbook. Great job, and I'll see you there.